Today's shiur is Masechta Chulin Daf Ayin Vav. We will begin by Ezra Hashem Yisbaruch and Daf Ayin Vav Amin Aleph at the top of Amid at the Mishnah. As we discuss an animal, the hind legs of the animal have three joints. The bottom joint, the bottom part of the leg, is called the Akuva, Hanukeres Im Harosh. It's the part of the leg that's sewn together with the head meat. The way the Mefarshim explained the reason this happened is because typically the meat in the head doesn't have that much meat. So they wanted a supplement when they sold the head that they put this along with it. And that's called bottom part of the leg, which we would call below the ankle. Above it is an upper part, which is called the shaykh. And between that joint and the ankle is going to be where we have the tumas agidim, something we're going to, a part of the animal we're going to be discussing very extensively in today's shiur. That's the part that's called the regal. And on top of that is the kulis, which we call the yerech, the thigh. And that ultimately leads into the hip. So the Mishnah now is going to discuss these three parts of the leg, and what and when will that leg be non-kosher, and when and where will it not, will make it a treifa, and where and when will it not make it in treifa. Even though it's interesting, the Mefarshim point out, most of our perek has been discussing dalocha aben pekua, and now we're reverting back to speaking about treifa. I saw the Mefarshim explain, because again, many of the halachas of Ben Pekua, as we said at the beginning of the perek, are related to Hilchas Treifa. We explained that the reason Ben Pekua, the Gemara said, is considered a treifa is because if the arm of the Ben Pekua emerges, it's considered a treifa. Here too, we're going to be speaking about different situations would make the animal be considered a treifa. And therefore says the Mishnah Behemah Shenechtechu Ragla, if the back legs of an animal were cut, min akuva, if they were cut from the akuva and lamata, from the below the bottom akuva, and we'll see in the Gemara which akuva we mean, which a joint is meant, then the halacha is ksheira, that animal will be considered kosher. However, if it was cut, min akuva lamala, above that joint, it's psula. Furthermore, teaches us the Mishnah. V'kein shenito tzumas agidin. If there's a place where all the different different veins or sinews of the animal come together at the bottom of the leg, if they're cut, as we're going to discuss extensively in the shiur, if they're cut or removed, then the halach is that the animal is not kosher. Nishbra etzvim, if the bone was fractured and the broken ends of that broken bone pierced through the skin, the bone is not completely broken, just fractured. So the halach will be imrav abasakayim, if most of the flesh around that bone remains, then the halacha is shchitasim mitarasai. Doing shchit on that animal will make the animal kosher. Vimlav, but if it's not, if it doesn't have that amount of flesh remaining around it, then ain shchit mitarasai. The shchit of the animal will not make us be allowed to eat the animal. So there's a very interesting point that the Ramban makes in learning this Mishnah. He says that if the animal's leg was severed below the joint, whatever joint we're going to be speaking about, the animal is not a treifa, because it's not considered a wound that's considered a fatal wound. If it was severed above the joint, it is a treifa, but could that's considered a fatal wound? And if the Mishnah also said that if the Tzumas Agadin will remove the cut, the animal's a treifa. So we see from here that a cut on the thigh bone up on top is going to make the animal a treifa. A cut on the shank bone, which is the middle bone, as we discussed when we began the shear, or lower, does not make the animal a treifa, but a Tzumas Agadin issue will make the animal a treifa. So it turns out that the Tzumas Agadin, which is below the shank bone, is severed or cut, then or wounded, it's a treifa. Above is not a treifa. So says the Ramban, in such a case, if we see that there's a problem with the Tzumas Agadin, the way we could perhaps solve that this animal should be saved and not be identified as a treifa is by amputating the leg above the Tzumas Agadin. Because we just said if you take off that entire part, then the animal is still a kosher animal. And therefore, suggests the Ramban, if you found that the animal has the Tzumas Agadin issue and you shech the animal, it's indeed going to be non-kosher, it's treifa. But if before you shech the animal, you just cut that entire bone away, you will be able to save that the animal is not going to be considered treif. The Rashba and the Rosh disagree with the Ramban. And they say, the Rashba and the Rosh disagree with the Ramban, and their opinion is that once an animal is identified as a treifa, in our Gemara, because of the Tzumas Agadin issue, then it can't be remedied. The Ramban obviously is of the opinion since the halach is that if it has an amputated leg at that part, the halach is we could save the day, so to speak. So the fact that it's considered a tzumas, the fact that it has a Tzumas Agadin issue will not make that we should not be allowed to eat the animal. Begins the Gemara, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, Amar Rav Chia, Lamata. So as we've been saying, our Mishnah is focusing on Lamata and Lamala. So says the Gemara, when the Mishnah says Lamata, what that means is Lamata Menakuva, below the joint. Lamala, and when the Mishnah uses the word lamala, it means lamala menakuva, the above the joint. So the Mishnah is saying that if the leg is severed below the joint, the animal remains kosher. If it's above the joint, the animal becomes a treifa. But of course, as we began to shear, there are different joints when we speak about the animal. And therefore, of course, the Gemara immediately asks, Be'ezar kuva amru, which akuva are we referring to that we should say that we're saying this halacha about the akuva? Says the Gemara, akuva and keres marosh. So as we said earlier in the shir, that they used to sell the bottom part of the leg along with the head. So the Mishnah is saying that if the leg is amputated below that lowest joint, then the animal is still considered kosher. But if it's cut anywhere above that lowest joint, then the halacha will be that it's not kosher. Ola Amar, Rabbi Yishi, but Ula says in the name of Rabbi Yishi, Kenegda Begomel Nikar. And the way I saw the Mepharshim explain this statement in the Gemara is that the leg of a camel is different than the leg of a cow or other animals, because by a camel, you could see the leg separately, and you could see the knee, and you could see all the different joints. And you look at a cow, especially if you look at the top of the leg of a cow, it just goes into the body of the animal, and it's not independently visible. And since at that point it's not independently visible, so that's why the Gemara says that's where we could easily see. So what we're saying is that if the leg is amputated on the shank bone, the animal remains fit. Only when it's above the shank bone where it's the thigh bone. And again, as we just explained, the way to understand the Gemara is that by the thigh bone, it's not easy to tell on an animal that you're looking at a thigh bone. By a camel, it is easier to identify the thigh bone. And that's why the Gemara is using the camel as the example, of where we could identify the thigh bone. And since that's where we could identify the thigh bone, that's where it's going to be a trefa. Amlai Ula Rabbi Huda, Bishlema, Dlididi, Damina, Beconnected, Gummelnicker. According to my opinion, that we're referring to where you could tell by a camel that you have that bone. Kind of the tani. That's why the Mishnah also taught us the Allah of a Ken Shenitel with Tsuma Sagidin. The Mishnah to teach us that if the animal Tsuma Sagidin are wounded, the Mishnah is telling us that although if the halach is, and this is very much in line with what we learned from the Ramban as well, that even though we just learned that the halach is, that if the animal's bone, by the shank bone, is broken, it will not be a trefa, still there's a new concern. And that's the concern of the Tzuma Sagidin. So the Mishnah is very understandable. El Lidach, but according to you, if it's broken anywhere above the ankle, the animal is a trefa, so that's already the area of the Tzuma Sagidin. So why would the Tzuma Sagidin, singled out? What does it mean when it says, the Chen Shenit or Tzuma Sagidin? Amalei, to which Rav Yehuda responds, Rekuva b'loi Tzuma Sagidin. First, the Mishnah teaches us that if the bone is cut even out any injury to the Tzuma Sagidin, the animal is a trefa. The Tzuma Sagidin, and then the Mishnah teaches us, Tzuma Sagidin b'loi Revucha, that if the Tzuma Sagidin are damaged, even though it doesn't have a broken bone, it's also trefa. Says the Mara, but that's not what the Mishnah says. The Mishnah says, v'nechtaku katani. The Mishnah says that if the leg were cut, the animal is treif. How can you say that the bone alone was cut without the Tzuma Sagidin being affected? The Tzuma Sagidin are right there by the bone. So if the bone is cut, it's obviously going to affect the Tzuma Sagidin. It's interesting to point out that the Radak quotes his father. This is in Yirmiyahu, Perek Lamed Vav, Pasuk Vav, that the reason that tainus is called a tzoim, he says that the word tzoim that we use to describe a fast is very much connected to the word tzuma sagidin. What happens by tzuma sagidin, as we're going to see in our shir, that the different veins tendons all come together. And what happens, what is supposed to happen, he says, on a fast day, what's supposed to happen on a fast day is that all of us come together to do tshuva and to daven to Hashem. Therefore, he suggests that the word tzoim in describing a fast day is the most appropriate, because just like the Tzuma Sagidin represents things coming together, so too is a fast day of a time for different things for all of us to come to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says the Gemara, Ishtik, so Rav Yehuda, after Ula asks him this question, Ishtik remained silent. Says the Mala, Masa the Basak, Masa the Nafak Amr, but after Ula left, he said, My Tamala Amrlai, he said to himself, I could have given an answer. Lamata Lamata Menakuva. When the Mishnah says Lamata Menakuva, it means the blow by the lower joint, by the shank bone, and the Tzuma Sagidin. And Lamala, the Lamala, when the Mishnah speaks about Akuva, means the area of the Tzuma Sagidin. And anything Lamala and Tzuma Sagidin, Lamala means Lamala and Tzuma Sagidin. And therefore, the Mishnah is teaching us that if where the Tzuma Sagidin come together, the Mishnah is teaching us that where the Tzuma Sagidin come together, it's a trefa. The next rule is that if there's a broken bone all the way up, it's also a trefa. Hada Amar, said Rabbi Huda, V'loi Amar Lei, but said Rabbi Huda, I tried to give a similar type of teretz to Ula, but it didn't work. Because didn't the Mishnah say that if you're going to learn that way, that if the first the Mishnah says that the bone was cut without being severed, which means next to the Tumas Agidin, you can't say when it says Menakuva means all the way up. Says the Gemara, Papa Masne Hachi, the Papa explained Rabbi Yehuda's opinion as follows. Amr Yehuda, Amr Rav, Amr Abchia, Lamata, when the Mishnah says below, Lamata Menakuva Metzumas Agidin, it means all the way at the bottom, below the shank, below the bone, and below the Tumas Agidin. Lamala, when the Mishnah says Lamala, means Mala Menakuva Metzumasagidim, the area above the Tzumasagidim and above the shank bone. So the Mishnah is teaching us that any time you cut the animal on the bottom of the leg, is the animal is still kosher. If you cut it anywhere on the thigh bone, it's certainly not kosher. Why would be the halacha if it's cut on the shank bone itself? Then the Mishnah says, the Kenshin Nitl Tzumas Agidim, the Mishnah teaches us that if the Tzumas Agidim are removed, that this, so he's teaching us cutting it at that point is makes a treif, cutting it elsewhere is kosher, for Kufa Ufa, and regarding the shank bone itself, Kedula Amar Avoshia, it only means to the upper bone, not to the bone, only the upper bone. But the bone of the only the upper bone will make a treif, but the lower bone will not make a treif. So it turns out, most interesting, it turns out that essentially Rabbi Yehuda is saying the same thing as Ula. Umi Kamidi, says the Gemara, but trying to understand this, ask the Gemara, Umi Kamidi, is there such a situation, that if you cut it higher up, the animal is still going to be considered kosher? Because as we learned in the Mishnah, it's different types of fractures that will sometimes be kosher and sometimes not. But if you cut it lower down, it won't survive. To which Rav Ashi says, Amar Rav Ashi, treif is kamadams la dadi. You're trying to ask that question when we learn Hilchas Treifa. Ein ayim betreifa zu daim lazu. Whenever we talk about treifas, these kind of questions don't really work. As we learned so extensively in the previous perek, shechaytch mekan v'mesa. You'll cut the animal lower down and the animal will die. Chayt mekan v'chaya, we can't bring a raya from Hilchas Treifas. There are different rules by treifas. Sometimes the cut that we think is insignificant in Hilchas Treifas is considered significant and vice versa. So as we've been mentioning, the Mishnah and the Gemara have been speaking so extensively about the Tumas Agidin. So says the Gemara, exactly where are the Tumas Agidin? Vela and Tumas Agidin. Exactly where are the Tumas Agidin? Says the Gemara, Rava Amar Rav Ashi, the Agmar Labah. It's the area where the tendons are moving towards the back of the bone. Rava by Rafuna Amar Ravashi, Dagmar Lagav. It's the front of the bone. Rava Bred Ravava by Rafuna Amar Rav Asi, Dila Gaba. It's the entire area above the Arkum, which is, I guess, what we would call the ankle. It's not so pronounced by an animal, where the above the ankle, anywhere there, is considered Tumas Agidin. Says the Gemara, Yosahum Rabbanan Kamedir of Abba Yosvakama, the Arkama Gufa. What about the area of the Arkama? Is that considered Tumas Agidin? Amalei, the Arkama Gufa, the area itself, right all the way at the bottom of the leg, is also considered, he said, an area of Tumas Agidin. Amalei Rabba, to which Rab Abba said, Loi Tatsisalei. Don't pay attention to what he says, because Hacham Rabbi Yehuda, Hecha the Parah Tapchi, the point of Tzumas Agidin is where the butchers begin to cut off the leg to separate the meat of that area from the tendons and from the Gidin. And this is the same as the definition that we just had from Rava Breida, Rava Bar Afuna, in identifying where the Tzumas HaGidin are. Continues the Gemara. Amar Yehuda Mishmu, Tzumas HaGidin Shamru, when we speak about the Tzumas HaGidin, so as we've been discussing, Mokum Shagidim Tzomsim, it's the part of the animal where the different tendons, it's the part of the animal where the different tendons come together. That Kama, and continues the Gemara, how far up is it considered Tzumas HaGidin? Says the Gemara, Amal Ahumar Rabban of Rav Yaakov Shmei, Kavina Bar Yehuda, when we're learning the Yeshiva of Yehuda, Amalan, he taught us, Shimu Mnei Milsa, listen to what I have to say, the Megavar Rabbi Shmeile, because what I'm going to tell you I heard from a great Talmud Chacham, who was that Shmuel? And he said to us, and he taught us, Tzumas HaGidin Shamru, when we speak about Tzumas HaGidin, mean Mokum Shagidim Tzomsimba. It's the place where the Gidim join together, the tendons come together. Mokum Shetzomsim, and it continues all the way up, at Mokum Shemispashtim, until they start to separate and spread. Continues the Gemara Kama. How much distance, asked the Gemara, is there between the bottom and moving up, that entire area will be considered Tzumas HaGidin? Amar Abaye Batri B'tadi the Torah. It's four etzpos when we're speaking about an axe, a behemah gasa. So we ask, B'dakamai, and when we're speaking about a behemah daka, what is the area of the Tzumas HaGidin? Amar Abaye, to which Abaye said, B'liti, in the place where the Tzumas HaGidin stick out, that's the area of the Tzumas HaGidin. B'li, but where they're absorbed in the flesh, they're not separate from the flesh of the animal, that's where Eloi have Tzumas HaGidin. Furthermore, Ashuni, where they're hard, is considered Tzumas HaGidin. Rikiki, where they're soft, Eloi have Tzumas HaGidin, it's not considered Tzumas HaGidin. Alimi, in the spot where we find those tendons to be thick, that is an area of Tzumas HaGidin. Katini, where they are thin, lo yav Tzumas HaGidin, it's not considered Tzumas HaGidin. Chivri, where they look white, they're Tzumas HaGidin. Lo yav Chivri, but where they're not white, lo yav Tzumas HaGidin. Ma'abar Rav Ashi, almost says the Gemara, kivin de zigi, as long as they're not dark, as long as they're pale, Afgav de lo chivri, even though they're not actually white, but the way I saw different pshatim, one pshat is that they're not, if they're transparent, that's Tzumas HaGidin. Another pshat is if they're not red, they're considered Tzumas HaGidin. This is all, as we're going to see, speaking about animals, but as we're going to start learning soon about the Tzumas HaGidin by birds, there Chazal didn't give us these type of identifying marks of what is Tzumas HaGidin. Rather, any tendon, any vein that, no matter how long it is considered, say, the Paiskim in the area of Tzumas HaGidin. And Mitzvah Hashem, we're going to discuss later in the Shia in Mitzvah Hashem how does the halacha in general treat Tzumas HaGidin, and how do we identify Tzumas HaGidin? So says the Gemara, Amar Amei Mishmei D'Razvid, Tlosa Chutei Hava, there are three strands in the Tzumas HaGidin of an animal. Chad Alimi, one is thicker, V'Trei Ketini, and two are thinner. If Sekalimi, if the thick one is cut, as the Roi Binyan, so since that's the thick one, so the most of the structure of the animal is cut. If Sekatini, if the two thin ones are cut, as the right minion, then most of the Tzumas HaGidin are cut. And therefore, whether it's the thick one that was cut or the two thin ones that were cut, the Gemara is saying that the animal is going to be a trefa. However, there's a different version of this Gemara. Ma'abar Rav Ashi Masan L'Kula. He learns this a different way. If Sekalimi, if the thick one is cut, Heker Roy Minyan. So we still have Roy Minyan. And if Sikatini, if the two thin ones were cut, Heker Roy Binyan. We still have the Roy Binyan, and therefore it's going to be considered, it's still going to be considered kosher. Only when we have Roy Minyan and Roy Binyan will it be considered treif, which will mean you'll have to have the thick one and one thin one to be cut according to this opinion to make the animal treif. So as we said, till now we've been speaking about animals. Now the Gemara begins to speak about birds. Ba'ifis, says Gemara, when we speak about birds, so as the Rishonim framed this Gemara, whenever we speak about birds, the conversation is very different than when we speak about animals. And the reason the conversation is very different is because a bird's vitality is much less than the vitality of an animal. And that's why, as we learned previously, all you need to shecht by a bird, me'ikra din, midaraisa, is one simen, because its entire vitality is so much weaker. But so says the Gemara, ba'ifis, when we speak about birds, shitzachu tehava, the 16 strands by the Tzumas Agidin, and aloch is ipasa chad minayu, and even if one of them is cut, says the Gemara, treifa becomes a treif. It's considered a treifa bird. Says the Gemara, Amar Baba Rav Ashi, Hayevna Kamna Da'aba, I was once standing in front of my father, Rav Ashi, Vaisal Kamei Oifa, and they brought in front of him a bird, Ubadik V'ashka Bei Chameser, and he only found 15 attendants. Have a chad, because there was one that have a shani mechavri that looked different than all the other ones. It was looked thicker. Naftse, he split it, vashkach trei, and he turned out to be five, and if two. And in fact, the Ravya says that by all birds, even though the Gemara says there are 16 tzumas agidin, the loch is that because there's one, that's really two. And in fact, the Rekeich says that when you check the Tzumas Agidim, you should not be very careful not to separate them, because it'll only confuse you in getting if you have the right number. Continues the Gemara, Amar Yudam Araf, Tzumas Agidim Shamru. When we speak about the Tzumas Agidim that we're speaking about, Berubim, when is the animal considered a treifa? The animal is considered a treifa of roiv akot. So ask the Gemara, my rubai, what does that mean? Says the Gemara, roiv echad mehem, that if the majority of even one of these tendons it's cut, it's enough to make the animal treif. But however, says the Gemara, kemrita kamei de Shmuel, when I said this halach to Shmuel, amali michti, and again, we're speaking about animals. As we said, when we speak about animals, tlosa hava, the three gidin, ki mifsik chad minay lagamri, even if one is entirely severed, as the Gemara ikatrei, there's still two left. So why, and that will make that the animal is not a treifa. So why are we being so strict that if roiv of one of them it is cut, we're already considering this animal treif? Says the Gemara, tamadikatrei. Says the Gemara, the reason the animal is not considered treif is because we still have two tzumas agidin left. Haleka trei, but if we won't have two intact gidin, loy, everybody will be agreeable that it's treif. Says the Gemara, udat upligid ravanoi is different than what ravanoi taught us. Dama ravanoi amishmul, tzumas agidin, that when we speak about the tzumas agidin, afilo nishtaba al kuchot sarbo, if we have the thickness of a string of a cloak, a very thin thing, string, which was used to put on the top of a wool coat, kshera. Vikadamri, and others say, my ruba, what is the definition of ruba? Roiv kol echad echad. Only if the roiv of each one of this, of the tzumas of the gidin are torn, only then will the animal be considered a treif. For to which he said, as we've been learning, the three tzumas agidin, the kol chad v'had. So why, if there's a third of each and of every one, it should still be kosher? When we speak about the Tzumas Agidin, even if you have some of the Tzumas Agidin left over, the animal is still considered kosher. So when we speak about the halachas of the Tzumas Agidin, we look in the Shulchan Aruch, Yeridea Simulam Tesef Aleph, that in the Shulchan Aruch says that when we shecht an animal, we don't have to look at the Tzumas Agidin. However, the Shulchan Aruch, the Rama says, this is the Rama in Simon Nun Vav, he says, V'ano ein ano became dikat Tzumas Agidin Shalais. The Rama says that we're not experts in the Tzumas Agidin because, as we're learning now, that the Tzumas Agidin is so complicated to identify where is the Tzumas Agidin. And therefore, says the Rama, whenever we have a question of an area of the Tzumas Agidin, the halacha is we just have to declare the animal treif. But the Shach says that this Rama is only speaking about the Tzumas Agidin of animals. Because since the Tzumas Agidin of animals are so, birds are so thin, they're very difficult to work with. And because it's so difficult to work with, we're always going to say the treif. But when we speak about the Tzumas Agidin of animals, which are thicker, and as we learned in the Gemara, have other identifying marks through their color and the thickness, the halacha is that we have to take, we could, yes, examine the Tzumas Agidin. The question, of course, that the Shevet HaLevi asks, if that's the halacha, that we have to take such a strict approach according to the Rama by the Tzumas Agidin, so how can we ever eat a bird? If the Rama says that we don't understand what a Tzumas Agidin is. He says that, and therefore he says in more than one tshuva, the Shevet HaLevi, that the Rama doesn't mean to say that the Tzumas Agidin, that every bird we have, since we don't understand so well the halacha of Tzumas Agidin, we have to be machmer. What he means to say is that if we see anything by the Tzumas Agidin, we are obligated, we should not start thinking if it's kosher or not. We have to take a strict approach and say that it's not kosher. But if there's nothing wrong, then the halacha is that we could, of course, eat that bird. Moreover, there's a question that the Paiskim discuss, that when the Rama says that Ein Ono became a Tzumas Agidin, does he mean to say that there's no one who's an expert in the Tzumas Agidin? Or does it mean that there are no experts in Tzumas Agidin? That means that average butcher or average shoychet is not the person who could tell us about the Tzumas Agidin. But of course, there are experts who could tell. And in fact, there's a very serious discussion amongst the Paiskim, at what point do we have to start investigating the Tzumas Agidin? Because now we're learning that Tzumas Agidin is only an issue if we see a problem. At what point do we have to start cutting open the bird to see if there's a Tzumas Agidin issue? And the Mishkanos Yaakov says, this is a rule in Halacha, that whenever we have a situation, it's commonly discussed when we speak about infested produce. At what point is the halacha that we have to check if there's a problem? Where does the halacha not require it? So the halacha is that if you have a miyat hamotzi, if something is common, then you have to worry about, then you have to look for it. What is the definition, however, of a miyat hamotzi? So the Mishkanos Yaakov says that 10% is considered a miyat hamotzi. There are other paiskim that take a different approach. The Shevet HaLevi himself is not ready to accept that 10% is a miyat hamotzi. He says it's even less. Rav Eliyashiv, Rav Volzner held somewhere around 5 to 7%. There's one more question, is that if we're saying that we don't have to normally assume that there's a Tumas Hagidin issue, if somebody went, and or different types of treifas that we're learning, that what's the halacha if you don't have to check for something and you checked for it, and then when you checked for it, you found it's treif. Can the customer say to you that halacha is that you shouldn't have checked? And if you wouldn't have checked, the halacha is that the animal would have been considered kosher. By you checking, you only caused new shaylos. And of course, that's an inappropriate approach. The halacha is that even if the halacha tells us that we don't have to check, the person who checked and found the treif actually did you a very big favor. He saved you from eating food that's not kosher, and therefore the halacha certainly is that he would not be held responsible financially for what he did. We learned in the Mishnah, Nishbar Etzem, if the bone was broken and the broken ends of the bone pierced the skin, but it wasn't completely severed. So we learned in the Mishnah like this. If the bigger part of the flesh remains, then the animal is still going to be considered kosher. But if the part of the flesh does not remain, the larger part of the flesh does not remain there, then the animal is going to be identified as a treifa. Says the Gemara, Amarav, Lamalam and Akuva, if the fracture is above the shank bone, the Imroiv HaBasakayim, if most of the meat remains Zev Zemutter, Vimlav, but if it doesn't have that meat covering it, it's Osir. Lamata Makuva, if the break was lower down, Imroiv HaBasakayim Zev Zemutter, both of them are permitted, Imlav, Aver Osir, the Aver itself, the limb itself will be Osir Behemim Materis. And Shmuel Amar, and Shmuel says, Bein Lamala, Bein Lamata, wherever the break took place, Imrei v'basakayim, if most of the flesh remains, zev zev mutter, it'll always be mutter, and imlav, and most of the flesh does not remain, aver osur, this particular aver will be osur, but bas mutteris, the rest of the behemoth will be mutter. Maskelov, Rav Nachman, to which Rav Nachman says, it's so difficult to understand this Gemara. L'Shmuel, according to what Shmuel is telling us, Aver memena mutla ashba. This aver has to be thrown into the garbage. Umateris, and yet the rest of the animal is considered kosher. Omer Rav Achav Rav Hunel Rav Nachman l'Rav Nami. According to Rav, you can make the same argument because Rav also had a way of also spoke about a case where the aver is mutla ashba. The aver is considered not kosher, bus, and the rest of the animal is mataris. Omalei. So this is what he said. According to Shmuel, says one of the Averim, which is a critical Aver to the animal's existence, is thrown into the garbage, and yet we're not calling the animal a treifa. So says the Gemara, Shulch Matam. So we don't have an answer to this question, but the Gemara says, Shulch Matam. They sent from Metzisrael, Hilchase Kavasei the Shmuel, the Alocha is like Shmuel. And that if it has a break and it's not covered with flesh, it's treifa. But then, Hadashal Kavasa de Shmuel, then they sent that the halacha is like Shmuel. Hadashalchu, and then they sent a message, the halacha is Kavasa de Rav. Ve'ever Atzmai, and they paskin that the actual limb is not be allowed to eat. And not only may we not eat it, but it's so non such it's considered so problematic that's matamba b'masa, which is another way of saying that it's a nevela. Moser of Chizda. So says the Gemara of Chizda asked that we learned earlier in the Masechta on Daf Ayin Beis when we spoke about the beginning of our perek, when we speak about the ben pekua, that part of that the leg, the arm, was sticking out of the womb of the mother. The halacha is that the shechita will accomplish that aver will, even though it's not included in the heter of ben pekua, but it's going to at least accomplish that it doesn't have tumas nevela. Says the Gemara, because we see that even though it's not doesn't have tumas nevela, it can't be eaten. So the same thing here. Even though it can't be eaten, asked the Gemara, it should not have the halacha of tumas nevela. So says the Maloi, im tira shchita treifa oisa, if the shchita of a treifa makes the animal kosher, v'sa eva madudl ba, dava she begufa, it's when we're speaking about the taras uber, that should make the uber, dava she ena gufa. So May is saying that the shchita makes that the part of the animal that's that if the shchita could so positively affect the aver of the uber that's sticking out, so it certainly should be able to protect this broken limb from having tumas nevela. Amalei Rava, hadu africh lamalach. Why do you have to look after such brisa? Oisem masnisen. Why don't you ask from the Mishnah? The Mishnah says, Nishtra Bechema, if an animal was geshakten, Hushkur Bedamea, anything that's attached to that animal, anything that's attached to the animal, is considered Mukshal Kabel Toma, because it's all part of that animal, and Shchita makes it Mukshal, Divrei Meir, Shimon Amaloi Hukshra. So we see from the Mishnah that both Ramey and Shimon hold that the animal that's slaughtered doesn't have tumas nevela. Amalei masnisen ikla dchuya. The Mishnah could be refuted kedachinen as the Gemara dafka and daf ayin gimel did. This price, however, says that clearly that anything that's attached to the animal will not have tumas nevela. Says the Marki Solik Reb Zeira. Says the Gemara when Reb Zeira came from Bobot at Yisrael. Ashchel Reb Yirmi v'Yosef kamal ala shmatza. He said over this entire Gemara that we're learning. And he said, Amalei Yasher, he said, what you just said, that the animal is broken above the joint and it's not covered by flesh, the animal is a trefa. Amalei, and he said, V'kein targama Ariach b'bavol, and so that Ariach say is the Aloch and Bavol. So he asked Ariach Mani, exactly who is Ariach, to which he said, Shmuel. But he said, Miflik Plalig. We've been learning that Shmuel disagreed. And we've been learning that Shmuel doesn't agree with Rav. Says the Gemara, Hadbe Shmuel gav Rav. Shmuel ultimately agreed with the Psak of Rav, that that's the way to determine if the animal's a treif or not. Tanaban Nishba Be'etzev Yotz L'chutz. If the bone was fractured and it's going through the skin, Im or Ubasa Chayfinis Roibay. If most of the bone is covered by skin and flesh, mutter, imlav osur, ask the Gemara kama rubai, and ask the Gemara exactly what is the definition of rov, kios rov dimi om rav yachin, rov avya, most of the thickness of the bone. Vamalei, and some say most of the hakefa, rov hakefa. Om rav papa hilklich, being a rov ofya, or being a rov kefa, we need both the majority of the thickness and the majority of the circumference. And as we've quoted previously, what that means to say is that it's not that we don't know what the halach is, and because we don't know what the halach is, we take on both chumras, but rather the way to understand this Gemara is that both opinions are correct, and therefore, either way, it'll make it a treif. Says the Gemara, Amu Ula Amar Abyotin, or Harei Kubasar. If it's covered by skin, even though the flesh above the skin is all deteriorated, it's still going to be kosher. Why don't you just say that the skin and the flesh could combine? So he said, Anan, when we learned the Braisa, we didn't learn it or Ubasa, we learned or Ubasa Tanina. Ikadamri, but there's a different version, Amalei Rav Yochanan, or Mitzdarf Lebasar. The or can indeed combine with the flesh. Or Mashnabasar, which would be, he said, a chumra, because the Mishnah, and the way to understand this question is the Mishnah only spoke about the basar. The Braisa added skin. So from this, it seems that the skin could only be mitzdarif klabasar, but it should be mainly basar, and otherwise it won't be kosher. Amleina of the Idani. So the reason I didn't say that way, and the reason I take this lenient approach regarding the R, because I'm not of the Idani. I know the following story. There was a pigeon brought to the yeshiva of Yitzchak, where the covering of the broken bone was skin and flesh. And he said that it's kosher. So we see that you don't have to have mostly flesh. Even if you don't have mostly flesh, the skin could combine to make it kosher. Amalei baguzla kamrit, you're bringing a raya from a pigeon. Baguzla derakashani, a pigeon whose skin is very soft is different from an animal, because the skin and the flesh of a pigeon are very similar. And since the skin and the flesh of the pigeon are so similar, therefore, they both treated the same way, and they could combine. However, when we're speaking about an animal, the hide is thicker, and you can't treat the hide like you treat the flesh. And the halacha is you have to have mostly flesh, and the skin could only be there to combine together with the flesh, but not to completely rely, or mostly rely, or equally rely on the hide alone.